At JCPenney's Memorial Day sale, sizzling deals are on with store-wide doorbusters all weekend. Or bring home savings up to 50% during our Memorial Day home sale. Save even more with your coupon. And for all former and active military personnel, enjoy an extra 10% off in-store. Just show a valid military or VA ID at checkout. Shopping is back. JCPenney. Coupon valid on select styles through 5/30. Some exclusions apply. Doorbusters valid 5/26 through 5/30 and excluded from coupons. See store or jcp.com for details.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this. Well, let's see. This is the 27th day of May, right?
Yep.
2022? Yep.
Yes.
Already tonight, we have, he's on the board. He's the nonstop board op, our producer, Courageous Craig.
Good evening, everybody.
Say hello, Courageous. Good evening, everybody. Alrighty, now you got out here. You've got, America's Johns. That's what they are. They're America's Johns. And they are What's Right, What's Left, the longtime contributors. John McTernan and John Holman.
Hello, Pastor Ernie. God bless you and all our listeners.
Good evening.
All righty. Thank you.
Blessings to all.
All righty. There you go. Now, right here live in our studio, I got our radio rookie. We have hit the Ritz, and we've got Ron Ritz with us here tonight.
Good evening, everyone.
Okay. So we're getting ready to go. Now, John and John, you haven't been with us this week, so I played the same song four times. This is the fourth. Pardon? You were there last night for a little while.
Yes.
Yeah, Okay, you got to talk directly into your mic because you sound like you got marbles in your mouth. That's okay. A bad sound.
All right. Is that better now? Isn't that better? Testing, 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, it is better, yeah. Now, you haven't been, we played this song, and I'm going to play it again, and you'll understand why, because I'm going to have some questions for you guys when we get back after this song, and then we're going to take a look at what God's Word, the Bible, has to say about, sins of omission. Let's go play it.
The world foresees this opportunity to fulfill the long-held promise of a new world order where brutality will go unrewarded.
Just in case you don't remember, let me jog your memory. In a church they called the Waco Compound back in April 93. 17 little children, all so helpless and so small, died a senseless death of gas and flames. How many names can you recall? 17 little children. Don't it make you wonder why? 17 little children. How could they deserve to die? Maybe we should stop and ask ourselves if we become so blind. Will 17 little children finally open up your mind? How did you sleep last night, Bill Clinton? Tell me, did you feel their pain? As 17 little children cried out and perished in the flames, Attorney General Janet Reno, I accept your offer to resign. How can you stand for law and order now when you won't answer to your crimes? 17 little children, all so helpless and so small. 17 little children, how many names can you recall? Maybe we should stop and ask ourselves if we become so blind. Will 17 little children find it said the Branch Davidians only got what they deserved. Yet no one seems to know what laws were broken, what was in the warrant they never served. Yesterday I sold my TV set, stop my subscription to the Times. To me it's plain to see the media was an accomplice to these crimes. 17 little children, don't it make you wonder why? 17 little children, how could they deserve to die? Maybe we should stop and ask ourselves, have we become so blind? Will 17 little children finally open up your mind? Open up your mind.
Proverbs 24, verse 10. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. If thou forbear to deliver them that are drawn into death, and those that are ready to be slain, if thou sayest, behold, we knew it not, doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it? And he that keepeth the soul, doth he not know it? And shall he not render to every man according to his works? Proverbs 28. The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are as bold as lions. For the transgression of a land, many are the princes thereof, but by a man of understanding and knowledge, the state there shall, therefore shall be prolonged. Proverbs 29:2. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked bear through, the people mourn. All right, John and John and Ron. Ron, Ron, and John. Sounds like the song. Ron, Ron, John, John. No? Well,
little.
Okay. Anyhow, let me ask you guys this. How does that apply? Proverbs 24. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. Well, let me ask you two guys this. Okay. When what we just heard about in Waco, they killed those little children. They purposely killed those little children. That was an act of commission, committing that crime. But what took place there in Texas, they stood back and they failed to rescue the little children. Is failing to rescue those children the same as killing the children if they allowed somebody else to do it?
Yes. Well, yeah, Pastor. And not only did they fail, but it was their calling. That's what they're called to do, Pastor.
Well, yeah, it was their duty, their responsibility.
Right.
It's just like, no, listen, I don't have any doubts right now. I don't have any doubts. If the situation, if we were there, I know, I have no doubt, even if I was unarmed, and that was going on in that school, even if I had no arms, I would go on in and try to find a way at least to get the drop on the guy, at least to get up behind him where he couldn't see me. But I would go in there, I would run towards that. As you know, that's one of the first things we learned in the military when you come under fire, is to run towards the fire, not away from it. If you run away from it, you're a sitting duck. And if you stand still, the best chance you have is to bob and weave and run towards the target. And that's what we would have done. And I have no doubt that the three of you here tonight would have done the same thing. So why in the world? And here, for 2 days, Tuesday and Wednesday, all we heard was praises of the police, the way they acted. And I kept thinking, something very, very wrong. Something very, very wrong here. And well, you and I talked about that, John. When you called me, you were totally beside yourself. I never seen you that way before. You were almost running out of breath. You were so angry about what took place. Tell us why.
Well, Pastor Ernie, because the police, and it's becoming more and more clear, they ran because they're being shot at, and they left. Well, now it's 19 little babies, defenseless children. They left them to this. That's unconscionable, Pastor Ernie. It's hard to believe, to tell you the truth, that they did this, but they did it. I ended up calling the sheriff's office, and I spoke to someone in the sheriff. They let me speak to them, and I said that the sheriff immediately has to resign. Immediately. There's no way wiggle room out of this. I called the police department, and I ended up getting recording, and I said that the chief of police and whoever was there, they have to resign immediately. They're not fit to represent law enforcement.
Well, they're in big trouble right now, but I called too. And when I called, they said that both numbers that you call go right to the police department, even the sheriff's number. And so I called, too, and they said there was no one available to speak to me. And the person I had said, I'm just a phone operator. I'm just, well, there's no one here now that's available to talk to you. And so, anyhow.
Pastor Ernie?
Yeah.
Listen, where else do cops protect killers? You and John and I all know. And
the abortion, the bloody abortion mills.
Yes, the same type of cops that protect baby killers at the abortion centers. That's exactly what they remind me of, and I've seen them in action.
Oh, yeah. Well, you guys had your dirty cops in York, PA. I had mine here in Cleveland. And I fronted them off, you know, for... Not only did I, for those that were taking bribes, I went on the radio and gave their names and badge numbers out, okay, and their office number, okay. for those that were being paid off by the bloody abortion mill. They were there to run us out.
They can bully people when they have an upper hand and a weapon and the authority, but when it comes to real courage, zero.
Yeah, I know. That's what happens when you go dirty. And you guys saw that in New York, PA, when they went dirty. What was it about? Half the police department was on Planned Parenthood's payroll.
I wouldn't say half, Pastor, but there was a hardcore there that were. That's for sure.
Yeah, they got paid by Planned Parenthood to be there with their uniforms, guns, and cars, and badges, and the whole nine yards. And they were given orders to arrest us.
Yeah, well, I know what that's like. I did my jail ministry from both sides of the bars there. I don't know how many times I was arrested out there for preaching against child killing and murdering, and they tried to charge me with everything. But by God's grace, we beat them every time. We won every single time. And
well, we ended up beating them, Pastor Ernie, in federal court. We appealed. We lost in federal court. We appealed to the Court of Appeals, and we won. And I had a nice for violating my constitutional rights. Of course, my attorney got almost all the. That's okay. But yeah, we beat. In fact, it's on my. It's on Pastor Ernie. This case that we. It's McTernan versus the City of York. It set precedent. And it's being taught, I found out not too long ago, it's being taught in law school.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Praise the good Lord. All right, yeah. Very good. Now, let me ask you this, okay? In what way is the media responsible for these mass shootings?
Well, they stir up the copycats.
Absolutely. You know. So what they now, Ron? You got to just jump in here on this, you know, if you, because these guys they won't let you get a word in, man.
It's like Jeopardy.
Yeah. All righty. So here, but what are they doing by showing you 24-hour coverage? They're basically telling these sick kids, look, the world's treated you bad. You know, I mean, they've kicked you around. You don't have to take this. If you just you go out and shoot up a school. And we will give you your 20 minutes of fame. It'll be on 24 hours a day. We'll just keep talking about it. Everybody will know who you are. Everybody will know who you are. And others, all these other young, sick kids, you'll be their hero. You'll be their hero. They're going to want to be just like you. They're going to want to do exactly what you do. And so that's how the media, with their 24-hour coverage, is responsible for this, isn't it?
Yep.
So... You know, years ago, that didn't happen. When something like this happened, you didn't get 24-hour coverage, did you?
No, I just thought
it didn't really happen. It really didn't happen, Pastor, any years ago.
Not like it does today, no.
No, the first one I remember was that Texas Tower sniper, and I can't think of the year. It was in the 60s. And he went up on top there, and the police didn't... They couldn't get them because they didn't have any rifles. They didn't have any SWAT teams. They didn't have anything. All they had was pistols. And they were trying to shoot up at the tower, and he had high-powered rifles and scopes picking people off. So, yeah, the police didn't – all they had was revolvers back in those days because the crime wasn't at that level.
And I remember that very well, but I'm trying to remember, how did they finally get him? Did somebody manage to come up inside the tower?
Yeah. Yeah. They did get up in the tower, and there were two police officers got up there, and they shot it out with them and killed them.
Well, but here again.
The worst one slaughter in schools occurred in 1927. So, I mean, it's more frequent today.
Was that the one where... They intentionally locked the doors and set the place on fire. I remember there was one they intentionally. That was way back.
That may have been a different one. This was a couple of bombs that blew up a school and killed 38 school children.
blown. Yeah, I remember that too. Yep.
Yeah. It's just more frequent, absolutely more frequent today, because they've destabilized their children and are also, with this media coverage, sowing fear into children around the nation. It's a very, very sad situation what has happened since we've taken the Lord out of the schools, that, you know, the children are the ones now that suffer. They live in fear and they're murdered.
Well, yep. You know, you keep hearing that, well, there's really nothing that can be done about this. I probably heard a dozen different talking heads in the media say there's really nothing that can be done about this. But the problem of it is people don't pay attention, because God's word tells you that there is a lot that can be done about this. Why don't you guys turn to Deuteronomy chapter 28? And when you get to Deuteronomy chapter 28, Holman, you read from 1 to 9, or to 8, 1 through 8, and McTurner, would you read 9 through 14? That's Deuteronomy chapter 28.
Okay. 1 through 9.
Yep, 1 through 8.
Come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies to rise up against thee, to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way, and flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessings upon thee in thy storehouses, and in all that thou settest thine hand upon unto. And he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee an holy people unto himself, as he hath sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways.
Go ahead, McTurnan, verse 10.
And all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of the cattle, and in the fruit of the thy ground, and the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee.
Go ahead, we're all the way through.
And the Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, and heaven to give the rain unto the land in his possession, and to bless all the work of thine hand, and that thou shalt lend to many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath, if thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day, to observe and to do them. Thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods, to serve them.
Now let me ask you this. Does God always honor a commitment of his people?
Absolutely.
And is God still able to do this today as he said he did it in that day?
Sure.
And then, so the reason that the country is in the shape that it's in is because people have left off. They no longer believe in God. Is that right?
Yeah. I was just going to say.
So the answer is right here. It's right before their face. But people, again, they're self-destructing. Now, John McTernan, Wendy Wilson had a request, and that is, I play this song for you. We'll be back after this. I feel so certain about this faith of mine. I'm hanging in there, doing fine. King Jesus is a friend of mine. I'm blessed by you. Saving babies, teaching sinners. Hell's for losers, heaven's for winners. This work is not for beginners. I am blessed by you. I'm coming home someday. Heaven's my way. I'm blessed by you. Where the saints all stay and little children play. I'm blessed by you. Where the saints of old walk on streets of gold. I know that I will see that heavenly prize. It's no surprise how happy I'll be. Gonna see my family again. Gonna be with long lost friends. Maybe soon, I don't know when. I'm blessed by you. We are back, and John McTernan said, Wendy Wilson said that was her favorite song. That song, no, that was her favorite song, and she, with an esoteric reason, asked me to play that song for you, and so I did. I don't know what you could make of that, John, but there it is.
Well, I thought it was a wonderful song. It was, and you know, everything was perfect with it.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow, that's the first time you've ever complimented my songs.
Nah, don't exaggerate.
I there was one song I was kidding you with many years ago, and you never forgot that, Pastor Ernie.
Was it Big Baptist John?
I don't remember the song, but I know you tried to. A caller called in, and you tried to get the caller on your side, and she agreed with me. You had a serious meltdown on the air that time.
Did I have a meltdown?
Yeah, a little bit.
Oh, hey, listen, Ron Ritz wants to say something. He doesn't get much of a chance, so we're going to let him say something. Say something.
Yeah, we're back to the scriptures. We stopped calling on the Lord in the 1960s, especially in our schools, and replaced them with metal detectors and counselors, and the results are just horrific. This is what we can expect, pretty much.
So here's the problem. Back in 1962, when they expelled God from the public school,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
When they did that, the door was left open, and the other guy came in, huh?
Yep.
Yep, the enemy came in, and the enemy's been there ever since. Now, from that very year, at that time, John, do you remember the status scholastically of the American school system, the United States school system?
They were the best in the world, Pastor Ernie. Yeah.
We were number one in the entire world at that time. From that,
now we're ranked.
Yeah, go ahead.
Pretty much right now, we're ranked 15th to 30th in all the core subjects, and we're actually in spending per pupil in the top three or four every year, but the results we're getting is horrific. But worse than that is what it's doing to the souls of the children. That this is just mind-boggling what we see on a daily basis anymore.
For 50 years, you know what we've been telling people? If you love your children, get them out of the public school.
Yep.
John McTernan, you've been with me for many, many years. Was there ever a time where we didn't tell people that weekly, if you love your children, get them out of the public school system?
Pastor Ernie, that was shared so many times, I don't even remember how many. I couldn't guess how many.
And now people are starting to awaken, but it's almost, you know, here's how sad it is. In New York City, where they're requiring in the public school system to bring in drag queens and let these children talk to the drag queens, sit in their laps, and tell them stories. They have story time. It's required. Now, let me ask you this. Parents that would keep their child in a New York public school, parents that would keep their child in that school, do they care for their children at all? Should they even be able to have those children, if they would do that?
Well, Pastor Ernie, I think there are some tough. I don't know if many parents just. No, maybe some of them just use it as babysitters, and they could care less what they taught. But there are sometimes there's real problems, financial problems.
Yeah, well, I know there's financial problems, but. Look, you're better off just to put them in the whorehouse down at the end of the block than you are in the public school, because they're in more danger in the public school. And I mean, it's gotten very, very bad. They've been taken over by pedophiles, and you know. But who's responsible? Who is mostly responsible for this? Because look, a dog returns to his vomit. You expect. You expect the wicked to act wickedly. Who is responsible to stand up and fight that fight against the wickedness, the uncleanness, the corruptness, and lead the charge of the people?
The churches.
Yes, right. But it starts, the Bible says what? Judgment begins in the house of the God, but it starts in the pulpit, in that house, right in that pulpit.
Yeah.
Okay. So now, let me ask, we'll give them a test. John McTernan and John Holman and Ron Ritz, if you're in a church and the pastor is not bold, if the pastor is not bold, and the Bible says that he's not righteous, right? If the pastor is not an activist pastor, should you stay in that church?
No. That's my wife and I actually looked probably about five or six churches in 10 years until we found your church, and it was that very reason. It's basically you're going there to get absolutely nothing. There's no guidance. There's no teaching right and wrong. There's no – everything is just vanilla. It's surprising how many churches are like that anymore.
And Pastor Ernie, what it does is the church kind of gets to the level of the pastor in many ways. And if he's lukewarm and not really doesn't walk in the fear of the Lord and all, that has a tendency to come like downhill from the pulpit to the people.
Yeah.
And the people can take that on them, you know?
So, in other words, if he knows that, yeah, go ahead, John.
You know, it can even be worse than that. You know, one of the ministries that the elders and the pastor, of course, should do is develop the people's gifts. And I think many times what you'll find is that many that are to do that and get them developed are actually suppressing them. And I'm sure there's people out there that are listening that may have even experienced that they've been in a church, they felt God's calling on their life to exercise their gift, and they've been stymied on it. So it's pretty bad, Pastor Ernie.
Yeah, it is very bad. And again, you know, the Bible, he tells you over in Isaiah, you know, Isaiah 56:10, you know, it's an interesting thing. Here's what he says. He says, "His watchmen are blind. They're all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yeah, they are greedy dogs that cannot have enough, and they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look their own way, every one for his own gain, for his quarter." And so there you go. What happens is people, there are often people, I run into people today, in fact, today, when I was in a post office, a lady come in there, and she heard me speaking to the postmaster. She said, "Hey, I know that voice." And she's telling me, she said, "I've been listening to you for years on the radio," but she was wearing one of those face diapers. And she was wearing a face, and she's telling me, and I says, "Well, who are you?" And then she took off her face diaper and showed me. There was a really pretty face behind that, face diaper, you know. And that's a shame in itself to hide a pretty face like that, huh?
That's right.
That's right. Anyhow, I get the opinion because while I was there, several people came up, were talking to me. And this is right because, they don't recognize the face, obviously, but I'm in there and they heard my voice and it's probably four or five people come walking over. But here's what I sometimes get this feeling. Now, this is just my feelings on this. But talking to people, they say, "I would love to come to your church. Your church is the kind of church that I listen to you, and that's the kind of church I'd like to be in. But you know what? It's like, you guys are doers of the word. You're doers of the word.
It's too much work."
I'm not sure that I can fit in. I'm not sure I can do it, okay? God's word, the Bible tells us it's to be you a doer of the word, not a hearer only, deceiving your own self. Is there any stuttering in that?
No, it's pretty crystal clear.
Okay. Now, let me ask you this. If, in fact, the pastors, especially in these mega entertainment centers, and they were seeing people that were going, they were going to churches where the pastors were leading them, you know, like it used to be in this country. You know, during the time of the war for independence, the pastors led that war. They were the ones leading in that war. And here, if the people in the mega entertainment centers were, say, "Gee, these people are going to where they've got bold pastors, and they're involved in actually being doers of the word, not just hearers only. It's not just about staying comfortable and prosperity preaching and playing church. These people are getting real, and if we're going to keep them, we got to get real too, huh?"
I don't think they have the backbone to do that, though. I think these pastors are they're leading the people down the wrong path, I think, intentionally. I don't think it's even convenient. They're making big money off of it, but it's so much easier to do that way. And like you say, it requires rolling up your sleeve and doing hard work and going down the narrow path, and they'll have nothing to do with that. So I don't think they would change.
Do they know, look, they read God's Word, the Bible. John McTiernan, do they know, do these people understand that one of these days they will regret when it came to being a doer of the Word and they failed to do that, okay? They failed to put their crowns up in heaven, that they chose to stay comfortable. Remember Moses, that fellow Moses? He knew a couple of things. He had a choice. He could have lived in the lap of luxury and ended up being the king of Egypt, or he could have lived a life of persecution and such and lived for the living God. So which did he choose?
Well, Pastor Ernie, he chose to serve the Lord, and he went into, became a shepherd in Midian for 40 years.
Well, did that work out good for him? I mean, right now, I mean, Moses is known. Has he got a good reputation today?
Yeah, pretty good, Pastor Ernie, pretty good.
So he might be considered one of the world's greatest leaders, huh?
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. You look at the Bible, and, the first five books are based on Moses.
Yeah, yeah,
Moses.
I know.
The Lord used Moses to get the word to us. Pastor Ernie, I've been meaning for a long time to tell you this. Back in 1962, that's when Bible reading was removed from school.
Yep.
And 1963 is when prayer was removed. So there were two events back then. 62 was the word, and 63 was prayer.
Well, either one of them means that they tried to expel God from the public school system, huh?
Well, they started there, but this separation of church and state, it expanded from the schools to the entire government. Everything is separation of church and state.
Now, you know, it's an ironic thing, because you remember back in 2010, when the Democratic Communist Collective, when they had their
convention.
Convention, yeah. Was that 2010 or 2012?
I think it was 12. Were you talking about with the governor that our Ohio, where he read the they wanted to change the rules to get God basically off the platform?
Yeah.
And then there was a big uproar, and then they actually took a vote, and if you watched it, overwhelmingly, they voted to get him out, but that was Strickland, Governor Strickland.
Right, but he knew this. This is not what I'm told.
Correct.
And so he said, "I can't. I got to pretend like it didn't go that way."
Exactly. Yeah.
And so, but here's what Strickland didn't know. Right, they could not expel God from their platform because God had left there a long time ago.
Yeah. About 50 years ago.
And amen. that was fairly obvious, okay? So, you guys ready? We're going to have first, I want to wish everybody, because this will be replayed in many areas come Monday morning. And so I want to wish everybody, before I forget, a blessed, blessed Memorial Day. And so, for all you folks out there, are you guys ready for a lightning round? Let's do some lightning round. I'll do it, and then you guys can comment. Ready? And we're going to start out with this. Here, former Pfizer vice president says all COVID vaccine manufacturers need to be immediately indicted for fraud. I think they need to be indicted for murder, too. More than 17,000 doctors and medical experts, including former Pfizer vice president Michael Hayden, are calling for every pharmaceutical company that makes Wuhan coronavirus COVID-19 vaccines to be immediately indicted for fraud. Thousands of people have died, and many thousands more become injured, in many cases permanently, from the injections. And Yadin and his colleagues want to see justice served. Now, I remember when they first came out, and he came out, and he says, look, he said, this stuff will kill you. Do not take it. He gave a warning. Do not take it, along with a number of the others. And today, how does it make you feel if you watch on Fox News where they got these people come out dressed as doctors saying, I'm a doctor, and my children, I make sure my children get the vaccine. Well, what do you think their children are getting, saline?
Yeah. Doctors were actually selling cigarettes in the 1950s to the public, too. So.
Well, here you've got 17,000 saying these people need to be prosecuted. Yeah. Prosecuted. Usually, if 17,000 doctors in one country speak up, of course, you're not going to hear that on NBC, ABC, or CBS. What do you think, Johns and John?
Well, Pastor Ernie, the truth is being suppressed. The mainstream media, it's all being suppressed. And the only time people can hear the truth is from like shows like this. So they have to hear the truth to be able to defend themselves. No. I mean, otherwise, they just hear these shots of great. You know, Fauci's backing them up and endorsing them and everything going along like that. They have to hear the other side from us, Pastor Ernie.
All right, you're absolutely right. Here's one, a lot of people. Yeah, go ahead, John.
Yeah, I mean, if people listen to the show, we've given overwhelming evidence exactly what occurred here. And criminal, we gave proof of what appears to be really crimes against humanity. The strange thing is, the phenomenon is that, and John and I discussed this today, many people do not want to believe that this type of evil exists and is active in the United States of America, even though they have been directly affected by it and some of their loved ones have died. They still refuse to believe that this evil is being perpetrated on this nation.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's like if I just don't acknowledge it, if I just pretend like it's not there, it can't hurt me if I don't. I mean, you got a mindset like that, don't you? And I don't know.
Yeah, that's what has to be overcome. They have to be able to believe that there is evil people in this world wanting to murder and kill the population. I mean, how much more evidence do they need, Pastor Ernie?
Well, you see, that's just it. Here's the problem you have with a lot of these people. We've been talking about the depopulation program since the 1980s. Since the 1980s, we've been telling you, and we've been naming all the players involved in that, too. And, again, I sit in their meetings. I sit right in their meetings when they didn't know who I was, and they spoke openly, talking about ways of depopulating the planet. They wanted to eliminate the population down to a half a billion people. And this is the Agenda 21. This is the big reset that they've talked about. And here, of course, the ways they've talked about was war, starvation, abortion, euthanasia, and one of their big things was vaccines. We can kill them off with vaccines. We can kill them off with vaccines. And so here, what happens is today, because who would have ever thought that you could convince the entire mainstream media to go along with depopulating the planet? But there, you see, and somehow there's a mindset, well, that's going to be for those people, not for us. And, you know, remember what Hitler did when he got into the war. He used the media, John, to his propaganda programs, even had to making all those films and everything, even showed them here. And then what happened when the war started? He lined them up and eliminated them. And the reason he gave, he said, look, if they will be so quick to betray their own countrymen, they'll be that quick to betray me. And they thought they were above this. You can't do this. We're the mainstream media. You can't do this to us. But they were in for a rude awakening, weren't they?
Absolutely, Pastor Ernie. And right now, Hitler was, and the propaganda he had was like first, second, third grade level. And they have it so sophisticated now. And the expansion of it compared to what Hitler had, that, you know, these people have like PhDs in propaganda.
They do. They actually give you, yeah. They actually give classes in that, too, for like seminar callers. Remember, we used to get a lot of seminar callers would call in on here, but they quit after a while. because we were always ready for them, okay? And it actually just made our program more interested by exposing them. And so they quit, but they would actually give workshops in the universities on how to be a seminar caller. And so, anyhow, let's go with...
Then you get into the CIA, and they have, they have, like, professional psychologists, psychiatrists, and all of them. They set up the propaganda on a level that it's beyond anything that we could even imagine. I mean, it's an art. They've done it to. It's an art that they have gotten it to, Pastor.
Yeah, I know. It's over the years, and they created a lot of Manchurian candidates too.
Just think if Joseph Goebbels had television, the internet, Facebook,
exactly.
Twitter.
Right. Exactly. I mean. Now the propaganda is 24/7.
Yeah, it's nonstop.
All right, let's go lightning rounds. Power grab failure. I've been talking about this week because people have been calling me. Biden regime's controversial WHO amendments tabled. The Biden regime's attempt to usurp Congress's public health authority by rewriting international law may have just encountered an untimely grave. The Biden regime submitted a number of amendments for consideration at the World Health Assembly that would bolster the World Health Organization Director General's pandemic authority without the consent of the member of states. The World Health Assembly is the WHO decision-making body, which is meeting in Geneva. But the most interesting thing that happened did not happen at the assembly itself, said Michael Alexander, co-chair of the Law and Activism Committee of the World Council for Health. A first-year law student in the U.K. objected to the amendments. Alexander explained on Washington's Watch. He said the courts to revive these amendments, and a court rejected his summarily, so he reapplied, and then he got a letter from the government that said 12 of the 13 international health regulation amendments have been taken off the table and will not be addressed at the assembly, at least at this time. In other words, Biden is trying to sell us out. Now, Joe Biden, everybody keeps saying Joe Biden is incompetent, and Joe Biden, his administration has failed. Okay, now, is this right or is this wrong?
Wrong. Look at what they did with Obama and Biden. Everyone said the same thing, and look at how much of their agenda they got passed through that we're dealing with now.
Biden's whole purpose was to reduce America to third world status. Here, President Trump addressed this. The president, I'll have that article. I'll get that when we come back. We're coming up to a break here in a minute, but where was it? The president of we'll find it. It was one of the Latin American countries who said that
it was El Salvador.
Yeah, that was it, El Salvador.
Yeah, he said that America, the way America's failing, it's being done on purpose. That it's not natural.
It said the most powerful country in the world is being destroyed from within. That's exactly right. And now we're running out of time for this, but when we get back, I'm going to ask you guys to tell me what you think. How much time do we have left? How much time can America, survive more Biden? Can we take another 6 months of Biden? I mean, okay, this is something people better think of because rapidly the country is being reduced to third world status very rapidly. And so when we come back, we'll ask you guys, and you will overwhelm us with your genius. I expect be right back. Don't go away. More to come.
Fight the fight.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio,
4465. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.